It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And Jimmy the Muscle is back.
Happy, happy, happy.
Back in the studio.
The Chicago Comics gentleman.
He is a Chicago Comics gentleman.
He is.
Well, if I get this job working weekends, uh-oh.
We'll have to move the podcast to Tuesdays. Tuesdays.
I could do it on a Friday night. There's no reason I need to sleep on Friday.
This is true.
If I work midnight to 8, I'll be here. Don't worry.
There we go. Okay. We'll figure something out.
It's going to be interesting because we're expecting our second baby in a couple of months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Those first 3 months are going to be interesting for this podcast.
They really are.
Because we're going to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to be like, I've had 45 minutes of sleep.
I'll feed the baby. I can sit here. I've done it before.
Yeah, we're going to do a podcast with the baby.
Are you going to breastfeed the baby?
Oh, no. No.
I don't know if Jimmy has the glands for that.
No.
I think Jimmy has the glands for anything Jimmy wants to do.
Except that.
Jimmy chooses not to. Right. If he really wanted to breastfeed, he would get it done.
He could. But he's just like, no,
not
guys.
Not with my farmer's tan. No way.
There's his line.
Hey, it's Casper the Friendly Ghost.
If he's anything like me, it's like if you shine a flashlight behind his back, you can count his ribs.
Yeah.
You
know, it's just like Steven and I are translucent.
Yeah.
You know? We're like onions in a pan.
Yeah, I feel like butter, an earthworm, if I'm out in the sun too long. It's like, I'm going to bake to the concrete.
Yeah, people ask me if I ever tan. I go, well, I burn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go back to white. So why burn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me just
those are
inside.
My two choices.
Yeah. This is why we've all been reading comics our entire lives. Yep. Because it's hard to read comics outside. You ever read a comic on the beach?
It's bright.
It's bright. The wind blows it. The sand gets in there.
And the chicks. Don't forget the chicks. You got to look at
the
chicks.
They go right the other way.
Yeah.
I used to, I grew up in Rockaway Beach, and all my original comics from the 80s were just trashed to hell. So as I've said before.
From the salt air?
Yeah. And the salt air and bring it down to the beach. Mm-hmm. And I didn't bag and board until I was in college, probably.
For shame.
I know. There were no comic stores.
Who are you?
And it's interesting because we've talked about how I've been rebuilding my collection from like 50 cent dollar boxes. The comics I'm finding in this 50 cent bins are better condition than the comics I originally had.
The shelf.
Yeah. So in a way, I'm upgrading.
Yeah. There you go.
But today, right now, the San Diego Comic-Con is going on, which is the nexus of all things geek. Mm-hmm. None of us are there.
Nope.
This year, actually, though, I know a lot of people there this year.
Yeah.
Who's there?
Well, Art and Franco are there, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Matt Waite's there.
Yeah.
This guy, Grant, that shops at the store is there. And then another subscriber, Mo Ryan, is there. She writes for the Huffington Post. And she left, I think, Friday.
Yeah.
This is like the first year. I'm just like, I know so many people. I have like a little community that's going there. I have no part of, but they're all there enjoying it.
Yeah, it is that feeling if you've never been there, you're just like, what am I missing?
Yeah. Oh,
I was there. I was there once in 2008. It was like 5 years ago. I was writing for figures.com. So they told me as long as I paid for my own plane ticket, I could have the room and the badge. I said, and it was a room with five guys in it.
I slept. Sausage fest.
Yeah, you know. I slept under the bathroom sink for 4 days.
Yeah, you just got to do what you got
to
do.
No, but I got to go. Jimmy, how many times have you been?
I have been lucky enough to go 6 times.
Wow. That's awesome. When was the last?
2 years ago.
Okay.
When the guys won their second Eisner for Tiny Titans. And yes, I wore a suit.
No,
because
there you
go. Looked pretty good. And
I would fly to San Diego just to see you wear a suit.
I'd wear a suit just to get to San Diego.
There you go.
Now, Steven, I'm assuming at some point you want to go to San Diego.
Yeah, yes and no. I've heard from Jimmy years and years ago. I've known Jimmy a long time. Saying it's, you got to make a pilgrimage out there. You got to go at least once.
Yes.
So I think
it's like
eventually,
going to Mecca.
Exactly. You go at least once. Mm-hmm. You kind of get it. But I'm not a fan of crowds, and
it's all
conventions
crowds.
For me for the last 4 years. While they are fun, it's exhausting.
Yes.
Because I'm working. Yes. You know what I mean?
When I talked to Glenn Farrington, who's created Comics Writer, he was just on the show a couple weeks ago. And he said, are you going to San Diego this year? I said, no, I went in 2008, and I thought it was just a little too crowded. There were a couple of panels I came in halfway just because I was online so long.
Yeah.
It was a lot of lines, and it was a lot like being in Vegas, like after the fourth day.
There's no windows, no clocks.
No. And it's just sensory overload for days and days and days, and then after the show, there's a party somewhere.
Yep.
So you're just going. And I said to him, I was like, it was a little too crowded for me. He goes, that's funny. I go every year, and that was the last year where it wasn't too crowded. So it's
and
I
have apples and oranges. Everybody's got their own.
Well, also
take,
I have a group of friends from New York that go every year, and they say the crowds just get bigger and
it's getting
bigger
worse.
And bigger. Like people are camping out overnight to go to a panel.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Last time I was there 2 years ago, the Twilight fans, we got there on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And they were camped out outside of the venue.
Just
to get in line. And this panel didn't happen until Friday.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't even like waiting in line at like Starbucks. You know what I mean? It's like I am not against
that. There are days you just show up here and go, oh, I guess we're turning the Keurig on.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to wait in line.
Those are mostly the days that I'm broke. Yep. But there has been an occasion or two where I'm just like, no, I don't like waiting in line. But it's like, that's the thing. I can't imagine wasting that much time, days, just waiting for something that 2 weeks from now is going to be online. You know, I'm a very, even with all these like figures and stuff they post, it's great to see all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like, I don't, when I'm at C2E2, I never go to the Marvel panels because it's like, and it's not even, I get information earlier as a retailer. John, you know about most of the crap before I do. You're like, oh, they're going to put this on.
Yeah, I'm online all the time.
All this crap's online. So it's like, I don't see the point of, oh, now I get to go see a Joe Quesada from 80 feet away, and he's going to tell me it's going to have Spider-Man this year. When if I wait a week, it'll be online, and I'll be able to read all
the comfort
all
of your own home. Yeah.
It's like I'm not a fan of the waiting in the crowds.
I feel like we're 1 year away. In fact, I'm surprised it hasn't happened now. We're just live streaming the convention. Like once it sells out, then if not SanDiegoComicCon.com, the other websites like Comic Book Resources, Newsarama, where they're just setting up cameras and pointing them at the panel and streaming live. Because we're at the point now where the last couple of years, you're getting tweets directly from the panel.
Yeah, as
you
it happens. The news sites.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yesterday I was on for the Mattel DC panel. I wanted to see what the new Batman was coming out. And I was on toyark.com, and they would, every once a minute, they would tweet Catwoman. And that's all I would say. Like, all right, Catwoman's coming out. And then with technology now, right after the panel, all the pictures are up. It was when I went 5 years ago, we took all the pictures on a digital camera, went back to the hotel room that had the Wi-Fi, and then uploaded all night. And like just started the uploader, went out to a party, and then you got stuff the next day.
Yeah.
And I went to one of the empty rooms and wrote 12 articles in an hour.
Wow.
And then I was like, here's everything I did, and here's a flash drive. And then it came out. Honestly, it didn't come out till we got back.
From the show.
Now it's instantaneous. So why we don't have video, I'm not sure.
And I think it's my only experience is C2E2, because even, you know, I'm probably going to go to Wizard World, but we won't have a booth or anything until maybe next year, depending on how the show is.
I think we should go and do a podcast from Wizard World.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's the only thing I can think that you're going to miss from not going is like the social, like you said, there's the convention all day and then there's like a party. And it's like, you know, it's like 2 or 3 years ago, Matt and Azusa's like Brian Azzarello and stuff, and like having drinks and Jill Thompson sitting over there. And then this last year, me and Dave and the other Dave went to some like bar afterwards, and then I was just like, all we were all talking about like comics and how to make comics and all these awesome stories, and I was telling about like Walter Simonson's like Thor, and it's just like, that to me, that was like, that's the convention, that's what I want, is like the social thing afterwards.
The social thing,
you know. And that's what conventions always were. I mean, way back when they started, and San Diego was originally the biggest because it was the oldest, but now since it's so close to LA, that and the movies are
it's
so
all
yeah,
movies
it all
now.
That's what's
exploded it.
Yep.
And honestly, the announcements are never that big from Marvel and DC.
No, because the movies so overshadow everything.
Yeah.
And Marvel's going to make any announcements, I think Saturday or Sunday or something. I don't even know what day to say. That's like their panel. But it's like everyone's just going to go crazy because the Spider-Man trailer is going to come out. And that's what everyone's going to focus on.
Well, I guess they showed Walking Dead.
Yeah,
thing that was last night on AMC,
and that's out online now.
Yeah,
I saw the link. I haven't watched it yet, but they did show all of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot yesterday.
Oh, so
and Josh Whedon was there, Clark Gregg was there, every and immediately
was Kobe Smulders there?
Kobe Smulders is in the pilot. Ooh. So
Jimmy Lai.
So I've been saying this. I think I've said this on a few podcasts. I think How I Met Your Mother is going into its final season now.
Yep.
I think they're going to wait that out, give her a couple of guest appearances, and then season two. Guess who's at? Added to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's going to be a regular cast member then. She'll stay on TV.
And honestly, it's probably a promotion for her to be number two on a drama coming from number five in a sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to give Maria Hill her own movie.
No.
She's going to be in Winter Soldier, but probably as much as she was in Avengers.
Yeah.
That'll be a bit part.
But they said it was absolutely amazing. They said people went insane.
Yeah. Crazy insane?
Yeah, crazy. That's the thing. Is like that, because that'll reach a wider audience than the comics, because all the comic people are watching that, and all the pop culture fans are watching that.
Yeah.
It just overshadows any announcement they're going to make about like Superior Spider-Man or X-Men, Adam War, or whatever they're going to do. It's like, it's just going to, it all just gets overshadowed by whatever movie trailer, TV show they're showing.
And to be fair, we record this always Saturdays at noon. So right now in San Diego, it's 10 in the morning. And it's a Saturday at a convention.
So it's already
started. Hope you're up and at the table, Art and Frank.
Yeah.
There you go.
Easy on the bacon, boys.
I'm sure they're having as much coffee as we are.
No one already,
But you know what? If there's some major announcements, it hasn't happened yet. It'll probably happen later this afternoon. But we haven't seen much. And the thing about comics now, comics and the internet are so intertwined. As you were saying, you know, I get news instantaneously before you see it in previews as a retailer.
Yeah.
That they're always announcing something. I mean, we know what the next two big Marvel crossovers are going to be.
Yeah.
You know, we know who's taking over one book. The last major announcement I heard of from Marvel Comics at San Diego was that Joss Whedon was taking over X-Men from Grant Morrison. And that's like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
They can just say that day. They can just put out a press release that day, and Newsarama, comic book resources,
they all pick it up.
Yeah. They all pick it up, and that's the news that day.
And that was even an interesting case, too, because from what I've read from the interviews that I've seen with Joe Quesada is that they locked that deal down that day. That he pretty much was like freaking out because Morrison walked off X-Men or had concluded his X-Men run.
Yep.
And then he's like, who do you get to file Grant Morrison? Mm. I don't know what Mark Waid was doing at the time because he filed him on JLA, but it's like, who's bigger than the two of them? And it's like, oh, Joss Whedon's here. Hey, do you want to write X-Men?
Yeah,
by chance he was there. He wanted to do it. He had a story idea and like, boom. And it's just like.
Yeah, it's a great story.
It is. And it's just like, it's meant to be.
Because I think Grant it was like in 1 hour.
Grant told him
he's leaving Marvel. Because I think Grant signed his DC contract to start Batman.
At San Diego.
San Diego, went over to Joe and said, no,
All Star Superman.
I think he was doing both books when he started at DC.
It's possible.
But he signed that contract, walked over to Joe, told him he was leaving. Joe freaked out because he had the Cup of Joe panel coming. So Joss Whedon go by and was like, how about you write X-Men? And Joss was like, Kitty Pride be the star?
Him in the men's room. Yeah, the urinals. You know, hey, Joss, how you doing? Yeah. You want to write a comic
book? Want a job?
Yeah. Can I wash my hands first? Mm-hmm. You know,
I met Joss Whedon outside the men's room in New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
I was too scared to say anything.
Well,
I also, at San Diego, you're saying people that you get to meet. I was at a party, and I was at the open bar in front of Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell, who were just hanging out with
each other. That's
awesome. And I'm like, and I had met Bruce Campbell because at a book signing when he did If Chins Could Kill. I met him. He was fantastic. He took a picture with me. He's got it signed to John. I have it upstairs. But then I saw him again with Sam Raimi, and I was just like, and turned around. Yeah. I have a habit of doing that with famous people.
Well, I was lucky enough to walk to the men's room with Phil Lamar 2 years ago in San Diego. Yeah, after gave me an autograph. Yeah. You know. I said, hey, man, I'm going to throw this back to the table. Thanks a lot, blah, blah, blah. He's like, where's your table? I said, oh, right over here. He goes, oh, okay, I'm going to go to the men's room, you know, and I'll stop by the table. I said, I got to go, too.
Yeah.
So here, me and Phil Lamar walking to the men's room. You know, hey, how you doing? You know?
If he was in the bathroom, I would have walked up and goosed him just to see if he yelled like Hermes.
Just to see.
Hey, it is Phil Lamar.
How you doing, Phil?
It really is you.
And it is so crazy that when I was at San Diego, like, people just fly past you. Like, that's what Brian Pasano. I was like, Brian Pasano. And he was already gone.
Yeah.
It's
Jennifer Love Hewitt walked right past our table.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'm like, Franco, Jennifer Love Hewitt. Put the pencil down and look up when I tell you Jennifer Love Hewitt walked past the table.
How often is that going to happen in your life?
Yeah.
But I think that's what's cool about it is, like, there's so many people walking around, so many celebrities, so many creators. You do kind of run into everybody. And it's kind of cool. It's interesting that it's like, you know, you're not quite on the same level, but it's like you're all at the same party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is a cool thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's like the one thing I'd be interested in. And I'm not even a big, like, I don't like autographs. I'm not huge on like meeting people. It's like, oh yeah, it'd be great to meet Stan Lee. I'm certainly never gonna wait in line to meet anybody, you know. But it's like, it's really cool that, like, you know, Stu's got the shield that's got all the signatures.
Oh yeah, that looks awesome.
Stuff like that. That's I appreciate it, but it's like, it's not really mine. I'll talk to you if it's I happen to bump into you at a party or something.
It was hard to talk to Mark Wade at all. Yeah, nobody was talking to him. And then I was like, well, I gotta talk to him.
Yeah,
you know, because we had. I don't know if I told this story. When I was doing stand-up, I had the same experience with Janine Garofalo that I had with Joss Whedon. My friends, John and Molly Neffel, they have a podcast. They used to run a show in the Village, a stand-up show, and every week, and they had Janine Garofalo. She was like getting ready for a show and doing every show. So I go down, and I had a major crush on Janine Garofalo in college.
That makes two of us, brother.
Yeah.
That makes two
of us. She looks, she looks great now. It's like she's aged, but she looks great. So then I go down, and I see there's a group of people all talking. And some of the guys are big now. And, you know, John and Molly were there, and Sean Patton was there, and a lot of guys that are doing really well. But they're guys I came up with. So I'm like, I'm talking, and there's two, like, little circles of people talking. And Janine Garofalo is in the other circle, and I'm in the circle. Then all of a sudden, at one moment, the circle becomes one circle. And I turn around, and she's right in front of my face.
Oh, wow, man.
And she looks at me and waves.
Yeah.
And I look at her wave. And I turned around. Because I'm like, well, what do I say? And then on the way home, I was like, she doesn't think you're a fan. I was like, you're a comedian.
Yeah.
She's on this show.
Yeah.
And you knew every other comedian on the show.
Right.
But I completely froze up.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
Because
then afterwards you come up with 47 things, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So after you walk away, I should have said this.
And then the night before we left New York City, Marc Maron was in town and he was doing a live WTF podcast at Comics, which is no longer there. So my neighbor and I went down to see it. I was like, it's my last night. Let's go see Marc Maron. And we go see. And then at the end of the show, my other friend, who's another comedian, is in the back and he's like, hey, what's going on? We're all hanging out. And we see Marc Maron just kind of standing around after the show, like shaking people's hands and talking to people. And we both freeze up. And she's like, well, what are you doing? We're like, oh, that's Marc Maron. I'm like, this is Marc Maron. And she looks at both of us. She goes, you two are pussies. And I was like, you know what we are?
Yeah.
We are pussies.
That's true.
And then in my head, I went, you know, I did this with Janine Garofalo. I did this with Joss Whedon. I'm not going to do this with Marc Maron. And I went down and met Marc Maron, who was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I got a laugh out of him, which made me feel great.
That's
and
cool.
It was an amazing experience. And it's like, every time I freeze up around somebody, I'm always missing an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think about San Diego. I could have had 10 great conversations. And now with this podcast, I could have invited them to come on and do it.
Sure, yeah.
And we still get shy about that.
I'd pick her up at the airport.
Yeah.
You know.
There you go.
Yeah.
We still get shy.
Sorry, Janine, you got to sit on the cooler. But hey, you know.
You know.
Yeah. You're still stuck on the Janine Garofalo story.
Oh man, Janine Garofalo, come on, you know.
Yeah, but everybody's there. San Diego's C2E2 has gotten so big and so professional.
That's what I really like.
Yeah, it's like our San Diego here in town.
I'd say it's probably the third biggest.
It's the third biggest behind New York
and
San Diego. So if you want to picture San Diego, if you haven't been there, just picture C2E2 being about four times larger, and everybody's there.
Yeah.
Like C2E2 has like. Three huge guests.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego has everybody.
Everyone goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like you said, it's so close to LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they'll take a day off from doing a movie or a TV show to, you know, come in and promote.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been outside and, you know, all of a sudden everyone's screaming, you know, bloody murder. And it's, you turn around, oh, cool.
That's why.
Know, there's so and so.
So and so's
why. Yeah. You know, but it's, you know, just get inside because then you can move around because everybody's outside, you know.
and the thing about being geeks is that usually pretty cool, so a lot of them are able to walk the floor.
Yeah.
Like I said, Jennifer Love Hewitt walked right by the booth.
Was going to, you know, they were doing a panel, but they snuck her in. We were over in the small press area, and they brought her, you know, through first, you know, with the ring of...
Handlers.
You know, yeah, handlers.
Yeah.
Then it was Jamie Kennedy... And then Cameron Manheim, you know, and it's like, why am I the only one
paying attention?
Yeah. I mean, I know the guys are sketching and people are trying to sell their wares
and
goods.
Look around.
Yeah, you know.
You never know what you might see.
Yeah.
You might see Jennifer Love Hewitt in person.
That's why it's always worth going.
Beautimus.
I was actually shocked when, what was it? I think it was the first year we had a booth at C2E2 when Mark Wade walked by.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's... that's Mark Wade. And it was, and I'd never met him. And I was just like, he's like right there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't walking around with like a million bodyguards. It was him and his girlfriend. And then like Stu lunged out from like 30 people to get him.
And Stu's 6'20".
Yeah. To get him to sign the shield. And it was just like, but it is, it's like that where it's just like, that's why I like C2E2, I think, more than I would like San Diego, just because it's manageable still.
It's
not crazy. Yeah. There's not bodyguards for people.
Right.
A guy like Mark Wade can literally just walk down the aisle and it's no big deal. Well,
2 years ago at C2E2, Shia LaBeouf was, you know, just walking around.
Just walked around during the floor, you know?
And I'm like,
I saw you suck in Transformers, you know?
I saw you help ruin Indiana Jones.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But I think, so I think I do prefer Chicago, obviously, with no comparison at all, but from everything I've heard, the crowds and the nightmare and the parties. Yeah.
But I will say, like, since it is so big, you can wander. And you can find different worlds.
Oh, you're getting lost.
So it's not like it's this one main floor that's compressed. The floor is so big, you can't do the floor in one day.
No. And how about it, John? Yeah. It's three floors.
They in San Diego. Three floors now? Because I know all the three floors. I know all the panels.
Well, it's always been three floors. But like at the top, they have an I found an autograph area. Wow. Who's Oscar Goldman from $6 Million Man?
That's awesome.
How you doing? You know?
So it's three floors. It's three floors. Up?
Yes.
Okay. And
it's the entire convention center.
Yeah.
And it's a big convention center.
What would you say it is, John? About three blocks long? Three Chicago city blocks? No.
I would say the Javits Center in New York is three blocks long. Mm. I would say this is like five, six. When you pull up in front of it, it looks like an airport.
Like a terminal.
Yeah. It's got like door A, B, C. I would say it's a mile long.
You know what? I'd
maybe even more. And the panels are are upstairs on different floors. Hall H is out of the building.
C2E2, they'll have like a panel, and it's like, wait, all right, where is this panel?
Right,
you got to look at the floor panel, and it's like, if I can't figure out this, I will never figure out how to navigate.
San Diego, you know how C2E2 gets bigger and they get a bigger space in McCormick Place every year?
Yeah.
San Diego is that entire building and then some.
So this would be like all of McCormick Place.
All of McCormick Place,
Because it's not like, at C2E2, it's always like, I was walking around with a couple friends this year and it was like, oh, okay, what panel do you want to go see? And I want to see The Walking Dead. I want to meet this person. And it's basically just walk over to the board, find where it's at. Hey, we got 10 minutes. Let's walk over.
Yeah.
San Diego, I imagine, you have to plan that. You can't just be like, oh, let's go figure it out. It's like, no, the day before, you need to know where you're going or you won't make it.
And there's so much stuff overlapping. When the year I was there for Figures.com, we had like eight guys there, and we would divide and conquer in the morning. Mm-hmm. We'd be like, we're all writing reports on them, too.
Yeah, you guys
are working. So we're going, all right, look, and we gave each other lists. We're like, I'm doing Mattel. Then I'm doing Hasbro, then I'm doing Walking Dead, and then I got an hour and I'll meet you for lunch.
Yeah, because if you've got an army, that's exactly what you have to do.
You got to split up.
Send guys here, there, and there, and cover everything.
Yeah. Read today, they had the X-Files reunion. They didn't announce anything, but everybody was there. People camped out overnight. Because they had Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, they had Chris Carr, they had Vince Gilligan, that really surprised me because he's running Breaking Bad now.
Hmm.
And they were all there, and everybody's waiting to hear, like, oh, they're going to announce a third movie?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, because the second movie bombed so
much. Oh, I didn't even see it. That's how bad it was.
I own it.
Do you?
You're a completist.
My movie collection is a lot like my comic collection. Yeah. I'm like, are you not going to get the final issue of something?
Yeah.
Right. I think, like, David Duchovny's doing, like, Californication.
And
he's actually, like, probably sleeping with a lot of those people because he's a sex addict.
And he's divorced now.
And he's divorced, so it's like he's not going to stop that sweet, sweet gig to go chase aliens around with what's her name.
But he was there at the panel.
Well, you know, he's probably promoting his show.
And Gillian Anderson does a lot in England, and now she's like Madonna.
She was on Masterpiece Theater a few times and some stuff.
She has a new show coming out on the BBC now. So they're still both busy, but there is... Yeah.
There's enough of a cult following around that, though, where it's like they could do it's the same thing like Star Trek.
Yeah. Is the X-Files another sci-fi hole for you?
Yeah, but you know what? Because I think I was a little young when it was on TV, but my oldest sister, Gina, was like obsessed with it. She was watching it all the time. So I've heard the music, I've seen some episodes, and I recognize David Duchovny, obviously, from the show, but I've never really seen any of it.
Yeah, it was.
That was always, you know, Friday night viewing for me, man. You know,
until they moved it to Sundays, and then Sundays was you did Simpsons. King of the Hill, X-Files. That was your night.
Yeah, I remember seeing even the commercials. Yeah. I'd watch The Simpsons. I was like, King of the Hill's dumb. And
well, yeah, because we'd order the pizza at the beginning of Simpsons.
Yeah.
On Sunday, and it would get there, And then we'd eat during King of the Hill because
yeah. Then,
all right, now everybody shut up. X-Files is coming on.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone lock be quiet. The doors, lock the door.
Turn your phone off if you had a phone.
Yeah, we'd turn a couple of lights off.
Yeah.
When Renee and I first lived together, which was like towards the end of the run, that was Sunday night. We'd eat. It's like 7. I think maybe depending on what time when it was, like Futurama would be on at 7:30 or Malcolm in the Middle would be on at 8:30, but you'd always watch Fox the whole night.
Yep. Yeah.
And Renee would do all the ironing and we would turn the lights out and she'd be behind the couch just ironing.
Watch it. We're doing that now. I got two friends I've known for about 7 or 8 years. I used to work with them at Jewel. And I've come from Rogers Park to go to Hickory Hills to watch Dexter at 8 p.m. every Sunday. And it's just like, you watch, you got your shows, you got your times, you sit down and you watch them. That
was
like
back in the day when Seinfeld was on. Thursday. You know, I'd race, you know, to my friend's house, you know, on the north side-ish, you know, part of town, and, you know,
we had a
you better be here before 7.
Yeah, I'm starting without you.
It's 6:55, let me in.
We had a huge party for the final episode in my apartment when that happened, and it was a big enough party that I woke up the next morning and went, what happened? We celebrated last episode of Seinfeld.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it means something. Like, there's a lot that goes on with like TV shows. It's very every week. Yep. You wait months for the new season to start. Yep. Like there's a lot. It's like a whole thing, man.
I remember one of the biggest things was the last Star Trek Next Generation premiered on my 21st birthday.
Nice.
And that's awesome. it was
huge. That a kegger or what, man?
We went out to see my cousin's band that night and got crazy. And I recorded it and taped it. And then the next morning I just woke up and it was just like, it was in the middle of the day, but it was silent. And that is one of the best final episodes of any VHS, show ever. I had that VHS until the DVDs came out. Now I'm buying the Blu-rays even though it's streaming. Some shows are worth it. And I think that's why people camp out all night. Because I imagine the X-Files people, the Twilight people, they're not going to a bunch of panels.
No, not at all.
They got their ticket to go to that panel.
Yeah. And I think that's especially with something like San Diego is that there's so much just focused on one. Like you said, there's the Twilight guys who are they're buying that a $200 ticket or whatever is for Twilight. There, that's it. And then they'll walk around after the panel and they might as well use it while they got it. But it's like, I just think it's people are so focused on their particular thing. Yeah. It's like there's so much things going on.
I saw 100 Ghostbusters in a line.
That's awesome.
You know those big stairs in the middle of the convention center? Yeah. They were all going up the stairs in formation.
Yeah.
And one guy, I think I might have told the story before the podcast, but one guy walks by, looks at him, he goes, hey, where are you guys going? And all 100 of them went, we're going up.
That's awesome.
It was great.
Yeah,
should have thrown some Stay Puft marshmallows.
The cosplay is like so above and beyond.
Oh, it's insane, man. Especially the anime stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the hair, you know, with the crazy, the wigs and the giant swords. And
it's ridiculous. And that's the thing. I made the joke at C2E2 was if you're walking around and I don't know what you are, you're anime. It's I can name every single comic book character I can see in there. If I don't know you, you're probably Japanese.
Yeah.
It's just that's how that could be. You know, it's like I work in a store. I have nothing else to do but read comics. I'll at least recognize you.
Anime runs so deep.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got people coming in from Japan.
Yeah.
You know, San Diego, Australia.
Yeah.
You know, coming from, you know, other hemispheres.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so cool, you know, because a few times, you know, I've been asked, you know, in not so good English, you know, when they present the camera to you, it's like, yeah, sure, you know, and I'm more than glad to do it, you know, because I've asked a few times and you know, and you know, a camera's very basic, you know,
it's usually one big button.
Yeah. You know, just click. Okay. And then show it to them. You like it, you know, oh, thank you. Thank you. No problem. You know?
Yeah.
But man, oh man, it's just so interesting to meet these people from different cultures that have such limited exposure to our culture and what we have here in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, they just, like, this one guy, he came up to the table when I was there 2 years ago, and he spoke fluent Russian. He was from Russia.
Yeah.
Gee, I live in Russia. What am I going to speak?
You know? Russian.
Yeah.
Klingon.
The monster's kicking in. My mouth isn't catching up with my brain, but...
You know, I feel like that should be like a life philosophy for you. The monster's kicking. Yeah. What people don't know is that since Jimmy doesn't drink coffee, he has a big thing of Monster energy drink. But I just like, the monster's kicking. Yeah.
Right, Jimmy's turning green.
He's getting, it's like Mr. Hyde. Right.
Oh yeah, you know, more of an olive complected.
There you go.
Yeah, in about a minute, you're just going to hear
Italian in
you. Yeah, yeah. Hey,
you're just going to hear crashing and screaming. But what happened? The monster kicked in.
Yeah. But this guy was just so happy and freaked out that he was at San Diego and, you know, he's able to meet Art and Franco and get, and they hooked him up with sketches and everything, you know, and all kinds of, you know, goodies. And, you know, he, I mean, he just, he hung around, you know, after he, you know, was in line.
Yeah.
And, you know, he asked me, is it okay if I stand here and watch them?
Yeah, because they're sketching and stuff. Yeah.
I said, hey, I'll tell you what. Come stand next to me behind the table.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. I said, come here, man. Come here.
It's all right,
dude. I said, give me your bag. Put it on the chair. I said, and just come back here and soak it up.
Yeah.
It is for a couple minutes. It's no big deal, dude. It's a big,
yeah, but it's a big moment the first time you cross that table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're on the other side.
Yeah, because, you know, I was about 21, 22 mm-hmm. when I did my first indie book.
Okay.
And, you know, it's first one sold well, second one sold not so well, mm-hmm. third one didn't sell, fourth one got canceled. Because it was like, I came out, this is like 96, so the crash is happening around this book, and it just sucked it under. But that first con where I'm like, I don't have to wait in line. I'm not being pushed by the crowd.
Yeah.
Even having a retail booth, it's just like, it's like, this is nice.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's pretty cool.
In one of my,
it is.
So for you to offer a guy who just came over is like, it's like lifting the velvet rope.
Right, you know.
And I think that's, you know, in one of my finer moments of arrogance, when the first year we went to see Tweets, we were like shopping around the Magnificent, and we were doing like portfolio reviews, and then Carm's like, well, we'll just come every year to see Tweets, a great show. It was the first year they did it. And I'm like, you know what? We will come every show. This is the last year I'm paying for a ticket. Thinking like we're going to break the book. It's going to sell. I'm going to be on some image or something. And then I was right, but not in the way I thought. I was
now like, you're paying for a booth.
Right. Now I'm paying for a booth, not a ticket. So it's like I was technically right.
I was so proud of myself because after that year, which is like 95, I never paid for a ticket again.
Yeah.
And then like 2 years ago, I was like, nobody could hook me up, so I was like, all right, I'll buy a ticket again.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, fine, I'll buy a ticket every year. Like I need the insurance of getting in, because when you get to that level of somebody's always like, oh yeah, I got your badge for you, you just meet me in the back behind the truck,
like,
text me, don't let yourself be seen,
right?
And then I'll slip it in an envelope, you know,
knock four and a half times. How do you knock a half a time?
Half a knock.
Anyway. Eventually it's like, you know what, dude, I'm an adult, I don't need you to hold the fire exit open at the movie
with
theater
the brick
so I can see Pacific Rim. It's like, I'll go around and buy a ticket. If you can give me a free pass, great. But I'm not gonna skulk around.
Right. Yeah, I'm not gonna climb through a ditch.
With my hands out. Please, may I come in?
It's like trying to cross the border.
I'm like in the bottom of a flatbed truck.
Hanging onto the drive shaft.
Sneaking you in an oil drum. You know, it's like there's easier ways to get into the convention.
It's $50 easier to get
in. Yeah, covered in beef tallow. You know, but hey, you know. Sorry, I didn't have time to wash the drum out.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, I think there's a difference between going and then, you know, like having that different experience.
Yep.
I mean, I remember even being, you know, Matt's always been super awesome around the shop. He's really well connected with everybody. Everyone loves him. And I just remember, like, we'd only known him for like a couple months, maybe 9 months or something before C22 happened. And he's just like, hey, we're going to go to this party and you're going to meet this person. He's introducing all these people. And it's like, I was like shell shocked. I was like, we're at this after party.
Yeah.
And you know, you recognize all these creators because their pictures are everywhere. And you're like, oh, there's Jill Tom from Brian as well. You see all these guys like just hanging out.
And that's another big thing. 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, you didn't know what any of these guys looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so different now. You were lucky. You know, if you remembered seeing a picture of like one of the old timer guys
in like a bullpen bulletin somewhere,
right? You know.
And Stanley aside, because he was doing all the interviews.
He was always
the face of the company.
But it's like
people didn't know what Kirby looked like.
Yeah, right, no one knows what Kirby looked like at the time. John Byrne, no one looked. You know, it's like you until these guys it started becoming celebrity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you didn't know what they looked like.
So
and I'm sure we've all done it. You walk the floor, and you're probably. Walking past tons of creators, inkers, colorists, guys that don't get the limelight that the writers and artists do, and you just don't know. You don't know who you're walking past. You know, it's the only reason I even like Mark Waid. The only reason I know him is because he's done all the backups and like the Super Friends DVDs.
Oh, yeah, he's done a lot of the documentaries. Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, that's how I know what Jeff Johns looks like and all these other guys. It's
Jim
I
Lee, Dan DiDio.
Yeah, because my sister
they realized,
know.
I think the company has finally realized if we put a face to the name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
you know, let's see what happens. Yeah. And recognition, it's, yeah. I mean, it's just like an explosion. Now, yeah, you know, like you said, there's that chick, there's, you know.
And that's something, like it said, it's like if you don't know or you don't watch these things, you just don't know what they look like. You have to be a little bit deeper in the culture than just, I pick up my books every week. You know, my sister's been reading comics as long as I have. And same thing, we saw Mark Waid, I'm like, there's Mark Waid. And she's like, well, who is he? Which one? And it's like, well, he's the guy with the flannel and the, you know, the red hair and it's the glasses.
Walking with the tall blonde.
Yeah. You know, it's just like. And
hi, Christy.
Unless she doesn't watch all these goofy DVDs that I do because she doesn't, you know, she has like a job and a life. You know, I'm at the store all the time.
She has a job where the TV's not constantly showing superheroes.
So it's like you just don't know, you know, but it's like it's a lot different when you're in it and you're in that second level of like immersion where you do know all these people or you've met them or know somebody who met them, you know?
And of course, you know, with the different you know, magazines like Alter Ego.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true.
And Wizard was a big thing. They used to do the top 10 and put everybody's face in it. And,
yep. You know, yeah, and that was a great way to, you know, like Mark Silvestri.
Yep.
You know, the one year, you know, I see this tall drink of water dude and this beautiful blonde. And I'm like, you know, the wheels start turning in the brain. I read Wizard and it's Mark Silvestri.
Right. Yeah. You got to put all the pieces together, you know?
You know, so it was like a big help, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, just, you know, say, hey, man, love your stuff. You know, be cool about it.
Yeah. Used to be, you went up to the table and looked at the name card and was like, oh, you're Dick Dillon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I know you are. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, back in the day, there were no badges. You had a wristband to get into the shows.
Yeah, right.
You know, this is probably before a lot of y'all were born. Before my time. Yeah.
Some of them were stamps. It was like a club.
Yeah.
They were just like, here, this just proved you paid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're in.
Yeah, so you can go to lunch and come back because we only got this one ballroom of a hotel.
Yeah, the Americana Congress downtown, and the Burger King was down the street.
Yeah, New York, it was the Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be.
Yeah, it was like right next to Madison Square Garden. Yeah. You went out, you went to Chevy's to get a burger, you came back.
Yeah.
You know,
those days are gone. Yeah. Now it's all celebrity and
although there's still the mini cons. We talked about the mini cons the first time you were on. You know, there's still the $3 ones where people got a bunch of dollar books. There's a couple guys. We went to Mighty Con and Bob McLeod was there.
No kidding.
Who inked Craven's Last Hunt.
Wow.
Yeah. So the you can still find that opportunity. I don't know. He actually wasn't even at his booth because we got there late Friday night. Joe and I just scoured all the deals we could get and then ran away.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can still have that experience that we used to have in the 80s. Except now you can also have this giant blockbuster movie experience.
Yeah, it's like a red carpet event. Yeah. You know, it's really kind of cool. It's, you know, it's like everyone can be, you know, not 15 minutes of fame necessarily, but you get to rub shoulders with creators that you normally, they're inaccessible. Where do all these people live? Well, you don't have to go to all their addresses. They're all going to be at the same place you are.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah. We're all in the same building.
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome.
And you never know who you're going to meet in line.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, hey, let me get that door for you.
Yeah.
Because you got, you know, four coffees in a container and, you know, they're struggling and, you know, just, it's awesome.
Yeah. You're just a person there, a person.
Every year I've gone.
For C2E2, yeah.
For C2E2 has either been just getting portfolio reviews from artists or then it's working at the booth. And the only thing I'm doing when I'm not at the booth is getting away from the booth.
Right.
It's like, I'm walking, you know what I mean? It's just walking around and then it's meet and greet. It's because there's so many customers there. You know, I'm running in all the guys. Oh, hey, how's it going, dude? Glad to see you.
Yeah.
You run into guys from the old shop we used to work at. It's like, it's mostly bumping into people I know from the city, from one shop or another. That's it. I haven't been to a convention just to, and maybe that's what we'll do at Wizard World, just to check everything out. It's more like, well, I was at the booth for 4 hours and now Karm's there, so I'm taking a break and, you know, I don't want to think. Yeah. Just shut it off.
Right.
I've been up since 7.
Yeah, you know.
It took me an hour to get there.
Yeah. Yep. I sat in the marshalling yard for, 2 hours.
Yeah. And not that I'm crabbing about it. No. It's part of the experience, but.
But it's a working weekend. And like I said, they're great weekends. They're really fun. But I'm glad we do one a year and that's it because it's exhausting.
Yeah. It is exhausting. Yeah. Yeah. One year when I was doing the Horseman book, I was working at a JCPenney's on the side and I was working at the comic store on Wednesdays. And then I realized in December with the conventions, I'd worked 21 days in a row. And then right at Christmas Eve, I got incredibly sick.
Yeah.
So it's more effort than work. And it's your weekend.
Yeah. Yep. And it's trickier too because, I mean, I don't know how I imagine. I mean, every store I imagine does it is, you know, we got to go to the convention. We got to have a booth.
Yeah.
Now I got to find somebody to fill in for those shifts. Mm-hmm. I got to pay for the truck. I usually got to pay for everyone's lunch. I got to pay for everyone's parking. Yeah. It's expensive.
Yep.
Like I said, not complaining. I'm just explaining that it's, a very busy weekend.
Yeah. But usually a profitable weekend.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like I said, you sell tons of stuff. You it's a great place to liquidate inventory that's just been taken up in the shop.
Especially the high end stuff that people can't afford walking down the street.
And there's always that one person that goes, you got that?
That thing
what do you want for it?
Yeah.
And you know? That like makes your day.
And I've had it, you know, that's something I've had in the shop for 4 years. And, you know, I bring it to the show. 100,000 people go to the show, whatever it is.
Right.
And there's one of those people wants this. Never would have seen my store been around.
Right. Yeah. You know? And if you didn't set the booth up at the show, you'd still be stuck with that
item.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like so, I said, it's.
And I'll have the opposite where I'll be walking through the aisle and be like, oh my God, I've been looking for that for 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much is it? Yep. Wait, that's affordable. Give that to me now.
Right.
Do you take credit cards?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's, they're awesome, but it's, you know, it's.
Everybody takes credit
cards. Like I said, they do. Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
They swipe the iPad.
Yeah. They have that square thing. Oh, it's awesome.
Beautiful, that thing.
But I think, it's a. I can't honestly think the last time I was at a show. It was probably in high school where it was you're just going and as a fan.
It's been quite a few years for me where I would just, you know, go as a fan.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I saved up this much money.
Yep.
And I got my checkbook with me.
Just in case.
You know, I get to, you know, I'll run out and get some more money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been a while for me. And again, I'm not complaining. But
because
you know,
that is thoroughly good to be on the other side of that table.
It is.
Having a place to drop your bag is awesome.
That's the biggest thing in the world. Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. Even to the point where like a lot of the subscribers, they'd come to the booth and be like, can I put my bag here? And it's like, dude, I've got a place for 12 guys' bags. Yeah. Put it here, dude.
You know, you're walking around with an extra 12 pounds on your back from the stuff you bought. That just runs you down. You start going to panels. This is what happened this year at C2E2. Joe and I only went like Friday.
Yeah.
And there weren't any panels Friday to see. Mm-hmm. So we were just on the move the whole time. And we were like, we're not young anymore. We were just like, our legs just hurt. And I realized, oh, that's part of what the panels are for. You get like 3 or 4 panels a day.
You can sit down. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not just like, we spent our entire day going through long boxes. And like your eyes glaze over.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You can't
even
see the numbers of the books anymore.
It's rough. You start getting those little blisters on the tip of your fingers
flipping through.
Because then that's the same thing. It's like you're standing at the booth, and then the break from standing at the booth is to walk the entire floor and see what you've missed.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's not something I wouldn't want to go back to not having a booth. You know what I mean? It's I get in early.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? And I'll take getting in early before the crazy crowd and walking around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you were saying right before we recorded, I never did this. I always got to San Diego like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you were there before it opened.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, like I said, Franco and I and Artie, we walked in and literally, and this is no joke, you can see your breath. Because it was so cool in there.
Yeah, this is something that wouldn't occur to me, you know, is that they have to accommodate how many hundreds of thousands
of people at once. And you can actually feel the temperature rising as the day goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious, you know.
That's ridiculous.
It's like, whoa, it's getting a little stuffy in here now because, you know.
There's so many warm bodies moving around.
Everybody's here now. Yeah.
There are some conventions that they're not ventilated. You can start to see steam.
Oh, yeah.
In the room just from all the body heat. Yeah. There was one convention I did in the 90s. It was in a basement. The air conditioner broke.
Oh. Whoa.
And this guy who was doing custom costumes.
B.O. Plenty.
He had this guy dressed as Spawn.
Oh.
So he's in the whole rubber costume. And the guy's like pitching and he's like,
must
look,
have lost
I made
20
this,
pounds.
This. Spawn is just swaying.
Yeah.
Swaying. And I go, how you doing? And he just shakes his head. And I'm like, you hot in there? And he just nods.
Yep.
And then the guy's like, oh, we got to go over here. And he's like dragging his cape and his chains with him. And it's like,
that's why I give tons of credit to all the cosplayers, you know. And let's have the air on.
Yeah.
But like you said, if it breaks down, guess what? I'm going to my room.
And changing.
And immediately, if not sooner.
Yeah, in basketball shorts and a tank top, you know?
Yeah.
You'll be lucky I'm wearing clothes under some of these
costumes.
I'll
put a sock on and walk around.
Yeah,
okay?
Right, yeah. Yeah, the thing I usually look forward to the most is seeing the toys. That's my big thing, is going to the DC booth, seeing the DC Direct stuff. Yeah,
toys and sculptures.
Yeah, Mattel has that Castle Grayskull castle. Oh,
yeah.
You know, Hasbro will usually have a couple booths, and just going through the figures.
It's all the absurd announcements, and these are the big toy announcements for the entire year.
Don't forget the giant Pikachu.
It's Toy Fair. Yeah,
yeah. I look forward to seeing giant Pikachu
every year.
Yeah.
Which still makes an appearance.
But that's because it used to be Toy Fair was the big thing, mm-hmm. and now the industry's kind of moved away from action figures. They're not as big as they were in the heydays of G.I. Joe and Transformers and He-Man, and so it started to become San Diego, mm-hmm. and now we're starting to see sometimes in San Diego where they go, oh, we'll save some stuff for New York.
Yeah, but yeah, let's spread it out.
Yeah, but this year so far, and as we're recording this, they have yet to do the Hasbro Mattel panel, but it's been all bad news.
How so?
Hasbro said Marvel Legends and Marvel Universe lines are canceled. They're only going to do movie lines now.
Yeah, see, that really bumps me out, only because I don't like the movies leading the charge. There's so many missing figures
from Marvel Legends.
Yeah, right.
I understand oil costs money. I understand that.
Yep.
But, you know, you kind of got to give the people what they want.
I know. It's crazy. But the weird thing about Hasbro is they showed a lot of guys in the booth that look great. And then they said, there's a Baron Zemo coming. There's a Radioactive Man. There's Batroc the Leaper.
No.
I called Steven.
Finally do Batroc.
Zotalos, mon ami.
Yeah. I saw it at the store. He can twirl his mustache. I saw it.
Mustache twirling action. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I saw it here, called Steven, and I'm like, Batroc the Leaper. And then I got on my bike because the store is a mile away, went over and put on that website.
Yeah.
So Blizzard is in there, Jubilee, some really great figures. Man. But they said now it's just going to be like next year there'll be a Spider-Man line and a Captain America line, and they'll put comic figures in that. The Marvel Universe, the 3 3/4 size, are just going to become Avengers. Because when was the last time you went into a Walmart or a Target and saw a lot of Marvel Universe stuff?
Yeah.
They're not getting ordered.
Years ago for me,
They're not getting ordered. Yeah. I mean, I look all the time when I'm there.
Because they're small and they cost
my first stop.
Yeah. Almost as much as the big ones, or the 6-inch figure, and it's half the size.
And then, so that was sad news. Maybe they might show something today that's
for all really great.
It's possible that they go, the Captain America line runs for a year and it's all Avengers characters.
Well, that would be great. Yeah,
that'd be great. But Mattel happened yesterday, and it was the most depressing panel I've ever heard. Was they said, we have two new lines to announce, and you're like, oh, great.
Yeah,
because this year's been shaky for Mattel. There hasn't been a lot of figures.
Yeah,
I mean, even at the shop, you've gotten like one, two waves.
There's not much to order. Yeah,
no, and there's the subscription. You know, which I subscribe to, but you end up paying $25 a figure with the shipping.
Okay, that's
pricey.
That adds up, and you're getting one figure a month, so you're getting like 12 figures for the year, and that's it. But well, now they announce, we got these two new lines coming out. They showed the new DC line, which looks like Brave and Bold. It's all kid stuff. It's all kid stuff, and it's just Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Flash.
Figures we've already seen. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they announce Movie Masters. They have this amazing Adam West 66 line coming out. We're going to do a whole podcast about Adam West. So then they said the Movie Masters line is going to continue, and it's going to have a Michael Keaton Batman in it. Oh, but those are going to be Marvel Universe size now.
It's going smaller. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, so we have the Christopher Nolan figures are 6 inches.
Yeah.
The Adam West figures are in 6 inches, but the Tim Burton ones aren't going to fit that scale.
Yeah.
So we have, there's three major film versions of Batman.
Yeah.
We'll never have all three.
Or at least in the next foreseeable future.
Although the good news is that Hot Toys, and I showed this to Jimmy as we started, Hot Toys is making Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yeah, there's gorgeous.
They're series, like, man. Yeah, they're I imagine really if nice. You stuck needles in them, it'd be Adam West. Yeah. Like, they're like voodoo dolls. They're so lifelike. It's absurd.
I think if you stuck needles in it, Adam West would go,
and charge you $70 for it.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. I got a great Adam West story for you about him charging for autographs.
Was it at Motor City?
It was at Chase Stadium.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm just going to tell a story. I told it on my blog, and my friend Howie got back in touch with me because he saw it on my blog. But my best friend in high school and college, we're both obsessed with Batman, with Adam West. And then we found out he was giving autographs out at Chase Stadium.
Nice.
So we go to this doubleheader. We get stuck in traffic. We missed the first three innings. And Howie was convinced for some reason that Adam West was going to sing the national anthem.
Well, I would have paid money to see that.
Yeah, which I did not believe at the moment. And now there's no way.
No.
Oh, say, can you see?
Citizen.
Yeah, but so we get online to meet him after the game. And this is the first
time. Is this between the doubleheader? Or is
I
this
think
after?
It's after.
Oh, wow.
I think it's after. It's like nighttime now.
Wow.
And this is the first time I had ever seen anyone charge for an autograph. Mm-hmm. It used to just be free.
What right? year is yeah. this?
This is 97, okay. 98.
Yeah.
And Howie got really angry. He's online going, what? $20. I go, I'm just going to shake his hand and say hello.
Yeah.
That's free.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait on this line and say, I met Adam West.
Yeah.
So Howie's like steaming behind me and he goes, hey, he goes, remember when Adam West was on Howard Stern? I said, yeah. He goes, remember where they said Adam West made a porno in the 70s? I go, yeah. He goes,
I got it in my bag.
Yeah. He goes, what's the name of that porno? And I was like, it was Lady Chatterley's Lover. Got it. And then he got really quiet. Oh, man. I'm like, oh.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah. Oh, no.
When a guy like that gets quiet, you're just
yeah, so oh. he's in front of me. He shakes Adam West's hand. He moves along. Adam West doesn't make eye contact with him. Now he's ready to blow. So then I go up. And I shake my hand. I did not know. Adam West was like 6'3".
He's a big dude.
His hand, I'm like 5'7". Yeah. Like Steve and I are about the same height.
Yeah.
His hand wraps around mine.
Like a bear claw. Yeah.
And then as he does this, I hear behind me how he go, hey, gonna make a sequel to that Lady Chatterley?
Oh.
And Adam West's hand squeezes my hand. And I can't get it out.
It's like bear trap.
Yeah. And he looks at him with steel eyes and goes, no. And I take my, I wrap my hand around my own wrist, pull it out, run. And I grab him and I'm pulling him out of Shea Stadium and he's going, please, please, Mr. West, it's my favorite movie. Make Lady Chatterley.
That's awful. Man,
what a goon.
That's my Adam West story.
Yeah.
This is probably
you know what? He'll probably remember you. I mean, not you, but
him. Yeah. This is probably why I'm intimidated to say hi to Jeanine Garofalo
because you're always just convinced your friend.
I'll say hi to her. Get her here, man. I'll chat her up.
I'll work on it.
The greatest thing in the world
this week. Okay, we were originally going to spend like half the podcast on this, and we just kept talking about San Diego. But this week, Steven and I, we didn't go together, but we both saw Pacific Rim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I am shocked Jimmy didn't see it because you were talking about it on our last podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, not having a job, got to pay rent, feed the dog.
Yeah, you got to have so much and a responsible choice.
But I'm
but you have so much time.
Yeah. You know,
you got 2 hours on a Wednesday.
Touche. But I'm hoping to go like maybe even tonight or sometime tomorrow.
Nice.
You know, yeah. I want to see this movie, man. Well, giant robots and monsters.
What else do you want?
Come on.
I figured since when we did Man of Steel, I didn't see it. I still haven't seen Man of Steel. You guys talked about it to me, so I think we can talk about Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please do.
I really liked it. I was expecting to be blown away, and I wasn't.
I didn't have any expectations, I don't think, for it, because I'm not like, I had no idea what it was. I thought it was like Godzilla or Transformers or something, but I got exactly what I wanted out of it because it was like I didn't want any
a 2-hour nap.
Yeah, no, I didn't want any.
That was The Hobbit.
Yeah,
that's a different movie. I didn't want any story. I just wanted to see giant robots just beat the car out of giant monsters.
From what I've heard,
yeah,
I mean of course there's a setup. Yeah, you know, the situation set up.
There's a ton of setup in the beginning,
boom,
actually.
Boom, boom. It's like fight.
And that's what you want. Yeah. Because I just want to shut my brain off and just have, eye candy.
The beginning of it's crazy, though. There's like so much story in the beginning because you expect a movie like this to be like a fishing boat is out and they see a giant monster and they're like, what do we do? Let's start building.
Yeah.
In the beginning, there's this narration of like, there's giant monsters everywhere. So we built a lot of robots to fight them. And then some of the robots won and some of the robots lost. And now it's 5 years later and you're like, what? Wait.
Yeah.
When did they fight? Wait, they already fought?
How about a prequel?
Yeah. Right?
like
hey, Guillermo, a prequel.
The story, the story they tell in 5 minutes could have been a whole movie.
Yeah.
But I was expecting, I'm a huge fan of Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing I saw from him was the first Hellboy. Then I watched Blade 2, I love that.
Yeah.
And then his Spanish movies like Devil's Backbone and Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah,
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah. And you can see, we've said this before, mentioning The Hobbit, you can see his influence on The Hobbit.
Like, yeah.
All the goblins are Del Toro characters.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to his audio commentaries?
No.
They're amazing.
I bet they are.
You listen to Hellboy. Hellboy, I couldn't stop laughing because he kept saying, he's like, I like the work of Mike Mignola, but I also like to get Jack Kirby.
He's like,
this scene, you look at his stone hand, it's very Jack Kirby. I would have loved to have had 3 hours of The Hobbit going, the Hobbit is going to fight the golem and the goblins. He's a lot of goblins. This goblin has got a fat neck head.
And I think the Jürgen Smog, he's going to be next?
So I really enjoyed Pacific Rim, but I kind of thought it would have that like twist of brilliant madness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of straight up.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like you said, you pretty much get exactly what you want, which is great because it's, you know, everything else has been kind of crazy this summer. Like Iron Man had the twist. Superman was a letdown. But it's good. It's really good.
Well,
but
we haven't gotten our movie yet. We were talking last time Jimmy was here. We were like, what's going to be the movie?
The big movie.
Yeah.
We still don't have it.
The they're really blasting Wolverine now on the TV.
Well, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be it. I mean, they're using the right source material. They know what they did wrong with the last one.
Yeah.
They look like Hugh Jackman looks like he's still really into it. He's not phoning it in.
Yeah. And he just tweeted, I guess, at the end of the credits for Wolverine, there's going to be like a teaser for X-Men First Class 2.
Oh, cool. Days of Future Past.
At San Diego, they showed the Sentinels, and they've got all this propaganda.
My nephew showed
posters.
Me the mock-up for the head.
It's the head, and it's purple. It's got the big yellow eyes and like a plexiglass shield.
I heard they're Sentinels.
They look awesome.
And you heard the announcement going into – this was one of those things – which is what I was saying before about the announcements are never as big at San Diego because of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They leaked it the week before San Diego.
Okay.
So now when they confirm it, you just go, okay. It's not a big shock anymore.
Yeah. They can't surprise people anymore.
No, but now they're making an X-Force movie.
Oh, I did hear
that.
No
kidding.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think what they're thinking of is they've done X-Men so many times, let's get new characters. What I don't know, and I don't think they've said anything, everybody's assuming it's Cable and Cannonball, but X-Force has had a lot of different versions. They could be doing, I doubt they will, but they could do the Mike Allred dupe version. They could be doing the Wolverine in a black costume version.
I think we're going to get Archangel. Remender, Archangel, that X-Force.
If they sign Hugh Jackman for it.
Yeah. If they signed him, I imagine that's the one we're going to get.
But I also feel that you and I are coming down on different sides of this because you are afraid of seeing Cable in the movie.
I'm afraid that they're going to put Cable in the movie.
And I want that so damn much.
Why aren't they doing Days of Futures Past?
They're doing Days of Future Past with the cast of both the Bryan Singer and the Matthew Vaughn cast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's going to jump timelines. I don't know anything about the plot, and I'm kind of staying away from it. I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
But both both Ian McKellen and Michael Fassbender are playing Magneto. It's like, in different timelines.
They time travel. Awesome. They
Patrick
got
Stewart
Ellen Page to play Kitty Pryde. So
Patrick
she's
Stewart
have a
and James McAvoy are both playing Xavier.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman is Wolverine in both timelines.
Nice.
It's going to be good.
Listen,
I heard everything I've heard sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But dude, back to Pacific Rim. Dave was telling me, because I went to see what Dave Navarez and this other guy, Jose, from the shop. And we all loved it. We thought it was great. We all had
Dave,
really moments.
Dave saw it before I did and said it was really good.
He saw it twice or three times by now, I think. And but it costs like $190 million to make.
Whoa.
And at the time we saw it
last weekend it came out.
$93 million made so far.
It came in third its opening weekend.
Behind Grown Ups 2, which is really sad because it's such a cool movie. I just think people don't know what to make of it or something.
Yeah, you know what? It's not based on anything.
Yeah.
And it's like
there's no comic book or graphic novel it's based
on. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this is a video game, right? Mm-hmm. And then I found it's nothing.
It's just his own. It's like a big homage movie to like Godzilla and Kaiju and all that other kind of stuff.
And honestly, that's hard to sell these days.
It is.
You know, when everything's based on an existing property.
Yeah, that's like a niche.
Yeah, when Avengers comes out, I know who the Avengers are. Let's see how they do it.
Yep.
But
yeah.
Pacific Rim is its own thing. I think it'll end up being like a big cult film.
I think so.
Yeah.
And somebody said they announced a sequel already.
I could see that. And they said it's made more money than any Del Toro movie.
Oh, okay.
I will say the one reason to see it, Charlie Day and Ron Perlman arguing. First of all, Charlie Day is a scientist.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Is because it's literally, he gave me exactly what I hoped for. It was like, well, you got the giant monsters, you need the robots. Get the robots without dinosaurs. There's giant monsters everywhere. Let's get a fight with giant monsters.
And I heard two things from Dave was telling me. The first is that Ron Perlman's role was originally written for, because they're in Japan or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
It was written for a Japanese guy. And then Guillermo came on and he's like, well, I want my buddy Ron to do this role. They're like, okay, perfect.
Yeah, Ron Perlman, not only Hellboy, he's been in almost every
Guillermo del Toro buddies. Yeah. And then the second thing I heard is Guillermo del Toro is a huge fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and he was watching the scene where Charlie's talking about like killing rats or something.
Oh, yeah,
and
on his birthday,
the scene where he's just like, he was becoming, that wasn't just him playing that character, he became that character. He's great. I want him to do my next movie and sign him up for this like scientist role, you know. So it's like he's just like a huge fan
it's
of these guys.
Fit and stuff,
perfect
too,
fit
yeah.
for it.
Cool.
So it's definitely worth seeing. a friend of mine, Anthony, is he's like a big physics guy. He's mm-hmm. majored in physics. He's, you know, just graduated. And we were talking about the movie, and you know, there's a part in the trailer where they swing the boat at the other monster. And he's like, as a physicist or a physics guy, I know you can't swing a boat; it'll just crumble. And you certainly can't hit the monster with it three times. But he's like, the kid in me was just like, hit him with that boat again, hit him,
and it's pick just up like, a submarine too.
Yeah, throw a submarine at him.
As always, you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. That is the official Twitter feed for the podcast. Like us on Facebook. Leave us a review on iTunes. And see you.
Yeah. In the real world, you can find me at 19 South LaGrange Road, LaGrange, Illinois. Yeah.
Jimmy, do you have anything? I just want to
congratulate everybody at Challengers for winning the Eisner.
Yeah, they announced that.
Congratulations for the Challengers. Comic Shop of the Year and stuff. Yeah. And All Ya Comics.
Yeah, and All Ya Comics, you know, 4933 South Oakton.
And
Oakton, not South, sorry. Nope.
They won the Skokie Retail Award.
Best Retail in Skokie. Which is a lot for a comic book store.
Yeah.
Those are my two tied favorite comic book stores behind, obviously,
my own.
Hey, everybody. Elephant in the room time. Right after we recorded this podcast, hours after, actually, there were two major announcements from both Marvel and DC. Marvel, Joss Whedon came out at a panel and announced that Avengers 2 will be called Avengers The Age of Ultron, which means Ultron is going to be the major villain in that film. About the same time, Zack Snyder announced that his sequel to The Man of Steel has been greenlit, and that will be a Superman-Batman, and that will literally be the first time these two have been on screen in live action. Those are major, major stories that we didn't know about when we recorded this. So we'll be back next week to talk about that and anything else from San Diego. So consider this a two-parter. If you have opinions on both these stories or anything we've said before, any of the news coming out, leave us a comment on caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com or on the Caffeinated Comics Facebook page. And we'll be sure to incorporate your comments as we do part two.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.